This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long in studio at 545. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. A little after 420, Zach Nagy will join us to talk LSU baseball, football, basketball. He is the publisher of LSU Tigers on SI, so we'll get his take on exactly kind of what's happening here with LSU spring football starting up. LSU baseball always sort of cranked up. We'll have Scott Sanders on tomorrow to talk to us a little bit about LSU baseball. And Charlie, tonight, Pelicans, kind of a not a back-to-backer, but back-to-back games against the Spurs. And so that game, pregame at 6:30, 7 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL, and see if the Pels can put together two W's.
So they call it a baseball series in NBA terms when you play a team back-to-back, but it's not on a back-to-back, yeah. Like back-to-back nights. So, yeah, the Spurs, and Mike, we talked about that game yesterday with Will Guillory. That was an embarrassing second-half performance from the Spurs. And, yes, the Pelicans had some things to do with it. They played a really strong second half. But at the same time, didn't it look like to you that the Spurs, with Victor Wembanyama now out for the season with blood clots, like they don't really care to win at this point?
That's what it looked like to me.
I mean, there's one thing to be ice cold offensively, but man, Mike, they just couldn't throw it in the ocean on Sunday night in the second half. So we'll see if the Pels can pick up, you know, back-to-back wins ahead of this four-game road trip that they have coming up for, you know, their Mardi Gras road trip, so to speak. And another kind of note, the Suns are still slumping. And so the Pelicans, maybe a win streak is coming up here. Who knows?
Pete Thamel is just breaking this, that it looks as though the Saints have them a new linebackers coach, and it's Peter Sermon. Peter is a guy that I remember coming out for the draft in 2000. He's a former Oregon player, played, I think, it's either 6 or 7 years for the Tennessee Titans, and has either coached in the Pacific Northwest or the Pac-12. Or he was at Tennessee for a little while, too. I think 2010, 2011, he was at Tennessee. Then he coached at Washington. He was the associate head coach, linebackers coach, recruiting coordinator at USC from 2014 to 2015. He was the linebackers coach, defensive coordinator at Mississippi State, defensive coordinator at Louisville, associate head coach, inside linebackers coach at Cal in 2018, co-defensive coordinator, inside linebackers coach, recruiting coordinator at Cal in 2019. And since 2020, he has been the defensive coordinator, inside linebackers coach, and recruiting coordinator. Man, he got a lot of titles. So Peter Sermon, according to Pete Thamel, who knows a lot about the college football world, is breaking this, that he will leave Cal in the college football world. Now, this is kind of back-to-back.
Right.
Terry Joseph leaves University of Texas to join the Saints. Now it looks as though Peter is going to join the Saints as the linebackers
coach. I was about to say that, Mike. They've dipped back into the college ranks for a second straight defensive hiring. And as far as Peter Sermon goes, as you mentioned, the DC from Cal from 2020 through 2024, but also served a ton of different roles inside linebackers coach as well. You're grabbing a college DC and making him a position coach at the NFL level.
48 years old.
Yeah. And
he ain't hit that 5 yet. There's only two.
He's one of the older coaches on this staff still, though, even at
the age. He ain't beat the two guys with the 5 in front
of him. Right, the ripe age of 48. But, I mean, he's not Joel Thomas, and he's not Terry Joseph. But, yeah, it's interesting that, you know, as far as Brandon Staley's staff, because he's going to be focusing on defense, the defensive assistant coaches, that they've dipped into the college ranks twice now in back-to-back days. I think that's pretty fascinating.
So, again, and coming from as good a source as you're going to get, Pete Thamel, he gets – really good sources here, and it looks as though Peter Sermon, I remember him when he played for the Titans, was a real solid player in the NFL. Was kind of a role-type player, played a little bit of special teams, but he's basically coached linebackers his entire career or been a coordinator or co-defensive coordinator. So, again, very young staff being shaped up here by Kellen Moore and you want all this kind of stuff in place because today everybody's meeting at the Combine. And, Charlie, this is the time of year deals get done. And I'm talking about veteran free agents. A lot of these deals get done the Wednesday and the Thursday and the Tuesday night before the college players hit the scene.
I got to double check, Mike, but I think our friend from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter, put out a tweet that all of the players that the Falcons have requested an interview with at the Combine are all defensive players.
I saw that.
I think that's pretty fascinating. I think they're going to be picking, I could guess pretty quickly when
they need some help.
They're going to be picking a lot of defense in this draft, and I imagine the Saints will as well.
Yeah, and I think for the Saints it's to kind of look and see what's going to kind of be around you. They normally have not jumped heavily into the early stages of free agency because that's where a lot of the big money is spent, and now with extra money being out there because of the new salary cap situation. Now you got extra money to spend on players if you have money. How they would do in the kind of second phase of free agency. When we come back, we'll have on with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, to talk LSU baseball, LSU football, LSU basketball. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, repeating what we had in our first segment that, and this is coming from Pete Thamel from Fox Sports, that the Saints are hiring University of California defensive coordinator Peter Sermon as their new linebackers coach. Peter was I know he started for a while with the Titans, also was a role player, played a little bit on special teams for them. I think it's either 6 or 7 years for the Titans. I'd have to look it up. And the last 5 years, he's been either the co-defensive coordinator, linebackers coach, or coordinator, defensive coordinator for the Cal Bears. So he joins the staff of Kellen Moore with the Saints. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Doing good on this end, man. I appreciate you for always having me on.
Zach, before we get into baseball, basketball, spring work is right around the corner. And I think offensively for LSU, the biggest recruit of the offseason was the guy you had last year in Garrett Nussmeier and bringing him back. You look at this quarterback class, and I can understand why it took him a little while to think about it before he decides to return to LSU. But I think the rebuilding of the offensive line, and you and I have talked about this before, it's not only about starting five, it's about talent and talent depth. I think that will become a major storyline for LSU this spring, and especially in the first couple of weeks. We saw a bit of a glimpse of it when they played Baylor in the bowl game, but this is a reshuffling here, and now you can be counting on some young dudes, and most and some of them never took a snap before at the collegiate level.
Yeah, no, 100%, Mike. And I just think when you look from kind of top to bottom on this offensive line, you have a new-look group and kind of these transfers that are coming in that are going to be super impactful. But the newcomers are also players that I'm going to be looking forward to seeing during spring camp. And when you look at the transfers, it's obviously Braylon Moore, who's likely going to be your starting center. And then Josh Thompson, who's a player who can certainly be capable, if not become, your starting right guard for this team in 2025. So those are the two transfers that are going to generate significant buzz, as they should. When you look at newcomers that can really step in the mix as well, it's going to be Carius Kern, Tyler Miller, Solomon Thomas, et cetera. I expect those three guys to really compete early and push a lot of these returning players for some playing time early, and then kind of highlighting those returning players that will be back in the mix, right? DJ Chester, Weston Davis. We also have, I mean, we get Tyree Adams as well. Yes. The list goes on and on. So we can talk a lot about this offensive line. There's going to be a lot of buzz circulating during spring camp just because you have an embarrassment of riches there. But like you and I always talk about, your backups have to be just as good as your starters, because in due time, they might have to step in the mix. So you have a nice balance of returning pieces, newcomers, fresh faces. Brad Davis has a lot to work with heading into spring camp, and I'm really excited to see how he kind of divvies up those snaps.
The tight end position is one I get asked about a lot, and certainly they brought in a young man who was highly successful at Southeastern, goes to Oklahoma. He was the Sooners' leading receiver last year. But it's going to look a little different at the tight end spot. Man, Mason Taylor, you can say next man up. Man, Mason Taylor, you got some big moccasins to fill with him. That dude was a big-time player as a freshman, and he grew into that spot each and every year. I thought he got much better last season as an inline blocker. I think that kind of goes a little bit unnoticed with him. He became a much more physical player at the point of attack as a run blocker. But the tight end spot is also one that I think you have to kind of focus in on in the spring.
Absolutely. And I think the praise for Mason Taylor is so just, it should be more recognizable by a lot of other people, because he was quietly one of your most productive players. It just seemed like he had stick-em on his hands every time the ball was thrown to him, because he made contested catch after contested catch. And then if you also needed a safety net check down, Mason Taylor was always there for Garrett Nussmeier. So he was a great piece for this offense. And now, fast forward to this upcoming season, you got to replace some big-time shoes. And it's not going to be as easy as just stepping in the mix and replacing that production. It's going to be a challenge. But looking at the tight end room as a whole, you have some players that are capable of entering the mix and putting up some numbers if need be. It obviously starts with Tre'Davious Green. The five-star freshman from 2024 comes back with just tremendous hype going into 2025. Tre'Davious Green, the 6'7", 245-pounder, who can really enter the mix and give this team some big-time reps. But you alluded to Bauer Sharp, and I think it's important to talk about him just because he can do it all. He can put his hand in the dirt and block when need be. Led Oklahoma last year in receptions. He's a player that can really catch the ball too. So he's a jack of all trades. That 1-2 punch should be really fun to watch with Tre'Davious Green and, of course, Bauer Sharp. But then again, you can't sleep on the other two bodies that are in the room as well. It starts with Donovan Green, the Texas A&M transfer who's still working his way back in the mix, suffered a torn ACL in 2023, wasn't necessarily back up to speed in 2024. So now he gets that fresh start that a lot of people talked about him needing, and he's in Baton Rouge ready to get to work. So that's a player to keep tabs on. And then lastly, it's J.D. LaFleur. He's an early enrollee, the number one tight end in the state of Louisiana. He's a legacy. We know about his dad. We know what he's capable of and what he did in the purple and gold. But now it's J.D. LaFleur's time to shine. And he's a big body, and it's going to be exciting to see how he enters the mix too. So those are the four guys in the tight end room. It starts with Tre'Davious Green, goes to Bauer Sharp, Donovan Green, and then, of course, you got J.D. LaFleur. So that'll be some fun competition this spring, of course.
Other than looking at my grandkids and looking in the mirror in the morning to think about, you know, I remember David when he came out of high school and covered him at LSU. And, you know, now his son is in the mix here. Switching to LSU baseball, the potential with Jared Jones, the way he swings a bat. And we saw, I think, early last season, he was a guy that either it was a strikeout or a home run. There wasn't a lot in between. He became much more diligent on pitches he was going to swing at. Now you see pitchers, wait a minute, I'm going to let this dude walk. I'm not throwing anything at him that he might hit out of the park. But you see a very improved player overall with his selection of balls to hit that's thrown at him. And I see big improvement with Jared Jones. Saw it at the end last year. Scott Sanders was one of the first ones to point this out to us. And then, again, you can see that improvement early on in 2025.
Yeah, I think Jared Jones is really piecing together an early start to the season that you want to see. Obviously, more discipline at the plate. We know he's got the power. We know he has the juice to hit bomb after bomb. But just being more disciplined there, taking his time, taking pitches, has been something that's been standing out to me. And then, man, he's stealing bases now, too. I mean, he had two stolen bases yesterday. So you're just starting to see him become a complete player that he wanted to become when it came to this season 2025 with LSU. Obviously, it's sensational to get him back in the mix and back in the lineup this year for the program. And now you're starting to see it really come together for him early in the season. Consistency will be his best friend. But I don't think you can have any complaints about the start that he's had to the year, whether it's being disciplined at the plate, consistent, showcasing that power, and the man stealing bases, too. I love to see that from him, too. Just a big guy kind of turning on the jets and getting some free bases. I loved it. I love what you're seeing from
Not
Garrett
if you're
Jones
a
early.
Second baseman, you don't love it. The way he comes in there, I wouldn't want him running
about
into
J.D. LaFleur. I love the segue that you made from one big guy in J.D. LaFleur all the way to Jared Jones, too. I love it. And, yeah, if you're at second base, you're gonna close your eyes and just hope you don't make impact with him because he's a burly man.
Zach, last night's 13-3 run rule victory over Nichols was the debut starting performance of freshman pitcher William Schmidt, and he ran into a little bit of issues early on. Nichols had the bases loaded with one out in the first inning. They scored a run on him, but he really settled in after that. A couple good defensive plays, helped him get out of that jam. He goes on to pitch 4 2/3 innings, gives up 5 hits, 2 runs, only one of them earned, 3 strikeouts as well. And Jay Johnson has just been raving about this kid. I know he was super highly touted coming out of high school, Catholic High in Baton Rouge, and he makes it to campus. He had a very impressive showing in the first weekend out of the bullpen, and then Jay gets him in a start on the midweek. I just think that the ceiling for this kid is so high. And then just seeing how he looked in his first starting performance last night was very solid as well.
Yeah, Charlie, this guy is sensational. And there's a reason why he was a player who was obviously in that first-round conversation fresh out of high school. He's a Baton Rouge kid. He always wanted to play for LSU, decided to bypass the draft and make the decision to stay home, suit up for LSU. And he obviously headlined that sensational 2024 class that's with William Schmidt, Derek Curiel, Cade Arambidi, however you want to pronounce it. I mean, you got three guys who are ranked in the top 20 that are all in Baton Rouge and decided to forego the draft and make their way to college. So Schmidt's a player that they're obviously really, really high on for good reason. That fastball has gotten up to 97 miles an hour. He's a guy that's got the juice on the mound, a lot of confidence for good reason because he's so highly touted. A player that Jay Johnson has been raving about. And for him to get his first start in Alex Box Stadium was obviously a big-time moment for him and his family. But I loved to see him kind of bounce back after a sluggish start, just like you alluded to. Had some struggles early, allowed a couple of hits, but settled into his own. And I think that was going to be something key for him is obviously get rattled a little bit earlier, but how are you going to bounce back? How are you going to respond? We saw him do that in a perfect way. They were going to give him 60 pitches on the day. He got right up to it and was super productive with every single one of them in each inning. So love what William Schmidt brings, a lot of confidence, a lot of juice, and is obviously going to win a lot of games with the purple and gold across at least three seasons.
Upcoming matchup tomorrow night, top 20 showdown at Globe Life Field in Arlington, the home of the Texas Rangers, against Dallas Baptist. I'm really looking forward to this game, Zach. I know you are as well. But the pitching matchup there, I know that DBU has some really strong pitchers as well, but it feels like the way it's set up now with what they used last night against Nichols, it's going to likely be Connor Ware getting his second midweek start. He started last week's midweek game as well. And then Zach Cowan, the transfer from Wofford, who came out of the bullpen, someone that I thought could have been a potential midweek starter, but just seeing how Coach Johnson's used them early on out of the bullpen, it feels like those two guys will be, you know, the go-to pieces on the mound against a really good Dallas Baptist squad.
Absolutely. And I think having so many options to work with just speaks volumes to the recruiting efforts that Jay Johnson does year in and year out. To go out and have probably 7, 8, 9 guys who are capable of stepping on the mound as a starter when need be, I think it's a testament to the players wanting to stay and play under Jay Johnson. A guy that we obviously haven't seen yet is Gavin Guidry, a player who this team wants to see become a starter. He had some extended outings during preseason practice, and they want to see him become a starter. So factor Gavin Guidry into the mix. We know that he won't be playing this week due to injury, but to have Zach Cowan, Connor Ware, and all the other guys in the mix, it sets the stage for this team to have bodies to work with down the line. Pitching depth was obviously something that Jay Johnson wanted to have in 2025. He sure as heck got it now, man. He's got some guys to work with here. And like you alluded to, Connor Ware and Zach Cowan could certainly be two of the guys that could step on the mound tomorrow against a super talented squad in the Lone Star State.
Zach, one guy in the spring you want to see. One guy. You can't give me multiple. One dude, you say, that guy, I want to see how it works out in the spring. Give it to me.
If we're talking strictly football here,
football.
If we're going back to football.
Now, I watch. Man. I see the baseball stuff and the basketball. That we can save that for another day.
Look, if we are talking strictly football here, I am just so excited to see Mansoor Delane step on the field. And I'm going to try to limit it here and not go on and on. But, man, the defensive backfield is a spot that I'm so excited to get on the field and check them out this season. Corey Raymond and Jake Olson did wonders on the recruiting trail to go out and bolster that group. You know what you got on the offensive line? We talked about it before. You got just an embarrassment of riches. Defensive line, some returning pieces that are sensational. A lot of players that you can talk about, but for me, it's the retooled defensive backfield. I want to get out there and check out Mansoor Delane. I think he's a player that's got a lot of juice, can really do it all. He's a Swiss Army knife in the backfield. I want to see where they put him on the field, how he's utilized, and how DJ Pickett looks alongside him, because I think that gives you a sensational 1-2 punch. Right when I get on that field on March 12th is when that first media availability is. You can bet I'm going to be running over there to check out how Mansoor Delane looks.
Man, I like Mansoor, and I really like him at safety. I think that may eventually be his spot. I know he can play corner, can play the nickel, but I got a feeling he may end up at that safety position.
We love versatility.
I love a guy that can play. He can play. And he can play all three really, really well. Zach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Charlie and I, we really appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Zach.
Absolutely, you guys. Y'all have a good one. Thank you so much.
All righty. Zach Nagy does a great job. Publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. When we come back, we'll take Jerry from LaPlace. Also, we'll do a little bit more of our mock draft right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jerry in LaPlace. Jerry in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike, Charlie,
yes,
thank y'all for taking the call. It's been a minute, you know, since I've talked with y'all and Bobby and everybody. Mike, I'm looking at Spencer Rattler, and, you know, I'm seeing a lot of good from him. Of course, he's, you know, there's a lot to improve, no doubt, right? Well, I've been reading during the last half of the season and kind of after the Super Bowl, a couple of teams that were interested possibly in Derek Carr, the Giants being one of them. I don't know how legit that is. My question goes like this. Would the Saints be willing to not take a beating, because I hope they don't, but maybe if it's maybe a quarter to a half of a beating to get rid of Carr. Let's play Rattler. I think Coach Kellen can get a good bit out of him. Whatever the season is, let's lick our wounds and go into the draft. And if there's not a promising quarterback, at least we could build our offensive line from there. What is your take on that?
Yeah, Jerry, if they had a team that was willing to make that deal, it's the best-case scenario to make a trade, even if it's a late-round pick for Derek Carr, because, man, there is no easy way out of that contract. I mean, it's a difficult one there with a lot of money, and Derek's going to get paid one way or another. So how legit all that is, all I know is Carr's agent's working overtime, and, man, I see it on a bunch of sites. And I know exactly where they're getting it from. It's coming from his camp with that. Would some team? Hey, listen, there are 32 of them out there, and you one of the 32 with the Saints, so there are 31 others. Would there be a team maybe saying, hey, listen, he's maybe a bridge to the next guy for us if you're willing to eat a little bit more of that cap money? We would take him off your hands. That would be the best-case scenario for the Saints. But, you know, you see that he's not going to be on this team in 2026. And my thing is, with a new coach, new coaching staff starting new, we got glimpses of Spencer Rattler. He wasn't playing behind a stellar offensive line by any stretch, and I agree with you. You got to rebuild that offensive line. The other part is he never got to play with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. So, you know, look who he was throwing to downfield. I think they'd like to give him an opportunity, but you got to do one of two things here. You got to bring in a veteran quarterback, and you got to take a look at maybe a guy in the middle of rounds that you would select. Maybe a guy like Kyle McCord from Syracuse, who was a starting quarterback at Ohio State. Again, him and Ryan Day maybe kind of clashed a little bit toward the end, and he transferred. Now, he threw a ton of passes last year at Syracuse, but he put up some really nice numbers there. Is he the future? I would say I don't know, but I think with a new coach, you got to give him some leeway to say, hey, this is the keys to the car. You don't have to be saddled with everything, and one of those guys is Derek Carr. And just maybe it's just optics for me. Where was Derek Carr during the Super Bowl week? He's nowhere to be found. He moved his family to Cal. My thing is, and sometimes perception and reality meet. And so if there would be a team out there willing to trade for him, even if it's a late-round pick and you eat a little bit more of that cap money than you would normal in a trade, I would say do it.
That's if you can find one.
But you got to find a dancing partner.
I think they'll ask around for sure, Mike, and hopefully they do find a partner. And if you get a sixth-round pick in return, you know, take it and be done with it.
And say, God bless you.
Exactly. Thank you.
And wish Derek the best, but we moving on.
Now, this is the issue. And Carr's done this before because he did it to the Raiders. He refused to waive his no-trade clause, which he currently has with the Saints. Now, if there's some type of restructure with the contract before they trade him, maybe he would be more willing to do something like that. I'm not exactly sure, Mike.
His agent, Saints, everybody else, they can deal with that.
Yes.
They can deal with that cap money stuff.
But I'm just saying it's something that he's done before where he's had the no-trade clause and he's refused to do it, so the Raiders had to cut him in that case, and that's when the Saints went and picked him up.
He had him by the teriyaki in Las Vegas.
And I don't think it's gotten that like negative or that toxic of a situation. It's more of like a, hey, we're looking to start anew with a brand new coaching staff, a very young coaching staff in that case as well, and we're looking more towards the future than the now type of thing. So if you're doing that, sure, like figure it out with Derek Carr. However, if you can't find a trade partner or someone that's willing to take on, you know, that contract, and they may not take on all of it, you might be eating some of it, but if you can't find a trade partner at that point,
it'll be a post-June.
Post-June first cut. I mean, that's the other solution. There are different options that the Saints can pursue where Derek Carr won't be on this team. The best option for them, like you said, is they get something in return. They get a draft pick, right? But if that doesn't happen, a post-June first cut is still very possible as well.
Yeah, and so there is no easy way out, okay? You're kind of boxed in here with a contract that is huge, and no matter what, Derek Carr is going to get paid. No matter what. I mean, he's already made it plain and simple. I'm not taking no pay cut. I'm not taking that with that. And so you understand there's some dynamics to be had, but I agree with you. Rebuild your offensive line. I think it's a big part of it. Add you a playmaker if it's at tight end, a wide receiver, and see what will happen here. I think if you don't win up front, doesn't matter who you got at quarterback. Man, listen. Super Bowl taught you a lesson, taught everybody a lesson. Okay, Superman, he looked mere mortal when he went up against that defensive line of the Eagles.
And Mike, as we're heading to the break, I just wanted to rehash. The 2025 NFL draft quarterback class is not elite, but there are a lot of guys that are quote-unquote developmental guys, guys that you can draft in the mid-rounds, you know, day two, early day three, and have them sit and see if they develop. Kyle McCord's an interesting name, though, because, we'll see how he kind of tests at the combine and everything like that. But he did put up big numbers at Syracuse.
And he went to the East-West Shrine game. He lit it up there. I mean, not in the game itself, but in the practices. He was really impressive. And I know some people that either played against him or coached on that staff, they were really, really high on him. As a guy that somewhere down the line, he'll get a chance to be a starter.
And I like Jackson Dart, but the more you hear about it, the more it sounds like he's going to be in the back end of the first round of this year's draft.
No.
So you're not even going to be able to get him at pick 40.
That's something we're going to go through, and I kind of tipped it yesterday. I think if the Rams move off of Matt Stafford, and remember last year, the Rams were a team that admitted they had a lot of interest in Bo Nix had he been available when they selected. Now, the guy they picked is damn good. Man, Jared Verse. Man, give me that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, man, he is a big-time player. And, man, he was talking smack to the Eagles. Man, it didn't matter. Y'all can't block me. And they couldn't for a while. And you think about that Rams team. Man, they gave the Eagles more trouble than anybody else in the offseason.
Him and Braden
post-season.
Fisk are going to be a dynamic duo on that defensive line for years to come.
Braden came so close to being the LSU Tiger. Because remember, he transferred. He was a Western Michigan guy. Transferred to Florida State, and it came down between Florida State and LSU. They came real close to get him. No, Braden Fisk can play. Man, he's pedaled to the metal on every snap. We'll come back, and we'll finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing off here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. I want to tell everybody at 520, Ryan Roberts, NFL draft analyst, also covers the college football scene for A to Z Sports. Will be on with us to talk NFL Combine, some of the players the Saints should be looking at. Also, Ryan covered Notre Dame, so we'll get him to talk a little bit about Terry Joseph's time there at for the Irish. And then Charlie and I will finish up round one of our mock draft. And then at 6:25, Charlie, I think you got Aaron Fitt, national writer for D1 Baseball, joining you guys.
Yeah, getting a breakdown of four huge games in Texas coming up this week for LSU baseball.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.